I would like to start by thanking all of you who are here today. My life has been influenced by each of you. Every time Kevin stands in the aisle and welcomes us to worship, he thanks us for being here because our decision to come here through those doors makes each Sunday a unique experience. So each of you being here today and being here on a weekly basis has made my life a unique experience. As it can be with any group, when numbers dwindle, it becomes hard to motivate yourself to attend events. But every week I looked forward to Sundays and Wednesdays because I knew I'd be returning to a place where I was loved, welcomed, and surrounded by friends. So your decisions to be committed to being here when you can has affected my life in ways I can't fully explain or appreciate. But I'm thankful to be here now and look at a congregation filled with friendly faces because I owe so much credit to each of you for who I am today. Looking back on this summer, the thing that has shown up to me time and again is that there's nothing we can't do with the power of love Christ showed us. We had more than a few fish and a couple loaves of bread, but we have fed thousands. And y'all are included in that we too. The 11 of us who went on that trip to San Francisco wouldn't have made it there without the support of you all, our friends and our family. The unconditional love and support that comes from this congregation can't be quantified and is what I see as the body of Christ in motion. Glide Memorial Methodist Church is where the food kitchen that we worked at is housed. When we worshiped with them on Sunday morning, I noticed that their mission statement revolved around being what they called radically inclusive. I had to stop and ask Kevin when being inclusive became such a radical idea. I suppose it's just where I come from and how I was raised, but I see inclusion as a norm, not an exception. I have seen this church love those who have found shelter in our underground for weeks out of the year. I have seen this church feed those they've never met by donating to Micah 6. We give space for various anonymous groups to meet and letting them find comfort in their community. You have served at God's Family Dinner, which is similar to what we did, and I think that name perfectly describes what that meal is and what our meals were like too. We are all created uniquely in the image of God, so I believe there is no differentiating between a volunteer and one who partakes in those meals. Our unique similarities with God mean that we each know God differently, so to put up walls and draw lines in the sand is nothing but counterproductive in further separating us from feeling and better knowing God's warm embrace. Jesus tore down the veil in the temple because our relationship with God is not meant to be facilitated through others, but with others. Where two or more of us are gathered, so is he. The commands to love your neighbor as yourself, love one another with mutual affection, and to love your brother and sister, because if we do not love them, we do not know God, because God is love, are no joke. To have open tables and invite all to partake in what Christ has offered for us is what we need to strengthen this family. A family or body with open arms and an open heart. This thought that I stumbled upon while at youth camp stuck with me and is something that I took with me to San Francisco. And there I saw just how true it really is. God has given each of us a special gift, as is written in Ephesians 4, and that gift remains intact in each of us, despite what weathering may have been done to our exteriors. Our days in San Francisco started at an early 6 a.m. We stayed in a hostel that was conveniently located two blocks away from Glide, and that short walk every morning was a perfect way to start off the day. We were in an area of San Francisco called the Tenderloin, which is a name I'm still not quite sure how I feel about, but it's trademarked for its poverty, crime, and heavy presence of illegal drugs. Living in and walking through this neighborhood made our work feel like more than something we were just assigned to do. It gave it a more personal flavor. In that short time we were neighbors with those we served, we wanted to do our best to treat them well and do something to leave that place in better shape than we found it. To give you all a bit of background about Glide, the Glide Food Kitchen is one of the most well-known food kitchens in the nation, serving three meals a day, 363 days a year. In total, they served an estimated 900,000 meals last year, handling about 700 people for each meal. And while we were there, we took numbers from 450 to 650 people. There are two dining rooms in their operation. One is called the Coffee House, which served disabled clients, as Glide calls them, and families, while the other dining room serves the remaining clients. The role a volunteer plays in the Glide kitchen can be anywhere from putting food on the tray or bussing tables where the clients eat, to handing out utensils or receiving the used trays and cups and cleaning them. I was fortunate enough to experience a different job each day, and that was one of the greatest blessings of the trip. Our first day of work, I was assigned to work in the coffee house. Because of the conditions of the clients, we took on the added role of delivering the trays to them, and that forced us to dive headfirst into our first day of work. Usually, our mission activities on trips revolve around manual labor or putting on a VBS for children in low-income housing, So working with the homeless community was something new to all of us. After the first morning, however, we all had stories to tell about how much we enjoyed this kind of work and how the admitted timidity and fears we had going into the morning had quickly vanished. We felt we had made solid connections with the clients through serving them, which was neat because instead of using the term serving as a generalization, here we were literally serving these people. We were all enlightened and delighted by our new work. In fact, we enjoyed it so much, I think you could ask any of us now, and we could tell you at least one thing worth getting up at 6 a.m. for. The next morning, I was stationed in the larger dining room, where my duty was to tend to the needs of whoever was seated at the group of tables assigned to me. The pace of this dining room was much more rapid than the coffee house. There was a constant flow of clients, and you had to keep your head on a swivel, because somewhere the coffee was always low, or somebody needed more salt and pepper. During this frenzy of movement, there was a man at one of my tables who asked me what my name was and where I was from. He started asking me questions about Austin, which I'm a little embarrassed to admit I didn't know the answers to many of them. Then he asked me what part of the Bible was most important, which caught me off guard. But I answered with the Gospels, because I figured if we're followers of Christ, those books are what give us most insight on who he is and what he did. He nodded and seemed satisfied with my answer, which allowed me to exhale because I wasn't sure what his intention was with that question. And then he gave me his own response of Romans and the book of John. This was not a conversation I'd anticipated having after experiencing the first day of work at Glide. I had pleasant interactions with the clients, but I wasn't expecting questions like that anytime soon. The man's name was Hector, and just by looking at him, I would have never guessed that he was a frequent diner at Glide. He was dressed in an ironed blue button-down shirt, long dark pants, and dress shoes. He wore glasses, and his hair was matted down calmly. More so, the way he talked to me was not what I had experienced yet in Glide. Not to say the other clients were harsh or rude, but he was genuine with his words and was just as intrigued that I had come here from Austin as I was that he was sitting here. Looking back on our conversation that night, I felt silly for being so surprised at the kind of conversation we had. If I had met Hector, say, in a coffee shop in San Francisco, our words would have been nothing but ordinary for the setting. Yet I had put different restrictions on what I expected from the clients just because where my story intersected theirs. I thought I had been doing my job well, welcoming everyone who sat at my table, tending to their needs, smiling as often as I could, and providing the best care for them given the situation. But up until that point, I had not given them a fair shot. I still held on to stigmas and stereotypes that I was there to let go of. Just because Hector came in differently dressed, I held him to different standards. This made me wonder what kind of expectations Hector had about me. Was he surprised to hear that I was on a mission trip? Did it surprise him by what he had already observed of me that I was a Christian? I came into our conversation with preconceived notions of who he was, so I can only assume he had done the same with me. As I'm sure we've all done plenty of times, it's hard to put our best self forward, and that can reflect poorly on what we stand for or what we believe in. Hector, however, came into breakfast that morning, not showing any stress or sadness of what he may have been enduring, and changed my day. It's easy to get bogged down by all the negativity that surrounds us. My unofficial research shows that for every 10 Facebook posts we read, at least 7 seem to be laced with hate, displeasure, unnecessary judgment, ridicule, and the list goes on. While there may be some exaggeration there, it's hard to not get caught up in all the messes going on around us. I was so pleasantly reminded by Hector that sometimes you just have to buck up, put a smile on your face, and give the world your best, because you may not know what someone else is going through, but it doesn't have to take huge gestures to brighten someone else's day, just as the conversation I had with him brightened mine. So on our third day, I was excited about the opportunity to go back, see some familiar faces, build off relationships that I had made the day before, and continue to do what I could to better someone's day. Unfortunately, my assignment was not one that would allow me to do so. The director of Glide's kitchen, James, took me to the back of the dining room where all the used trays were dropped off to be cleaned and sent back out. I was told that my job would be to take everything that came through the dishwasher back out to the front. And it would be short to say that I was frustrated with my job. I was bummed that I may not get the chance to have another conversation with Hector, or for that matter, anyone. This role I had to play didn't feel as important as the service I had gotten used to doing over the previous 2 days. I began to wonder, does James not know that our group is here on a mission trip? What difference can I make back here? I didn't come all the way to San Francisco just to carry around a bunch of trays and coffee cups. Who can I help by doing that? It was a type of job nobody wants to do, because let me tell you, as odd as it sounds, It's impossible to find a place in San Francisco that will make you sweat in July. But this was that one place. The machinery back there made it hot, and it was a tight and closed off space. All the water spraying around made a mess, and it increased the humidity in that room to where it was almost difficult to breathe. It occurred to me, though, that James had been running this operation much longer than I had known about it. It must have had some reason for putting me back here. So I began my work leaving room to be surprised by what would be presented to me over the next 2 hours. After 2 hours of going back and forth, I was exhausted. My shirt was drenched in sweat, and I had food bits stuck to me. Meanwhile, I got to hear all about everyone else's work, the friends they made, the unexpected things they saw, the great conversations they had, and I was upset that my day might have gone wasted. However, as happens many times on trips like these, things became clear to me. If there was no one to carry those trays, the servers would have run out of places to put food, and many people would have been turned away without food. I saw how every job in the Glad kitchen is just as crucial as the next, and without one, the whole system would be a flop. Each assignment has its importance. Even though it may not be what I wanted, it needed to be done. And sometimes in life, we get too focused on what we want. Sometimes we make plans that don't work out the way we want them to, yet they still play out for the better, even though we had never expected them to take that turn. This was one of those moments for me. And just like the foundation of the Glad operation, many small tasks coming together to accomplish unimaginable things, so does the body of Christ work. We are meant to work in community to allow our strengths to flourish, to accomplish things greater than what we are capable of alone. Your role isn't always going to be pretty and easy, though. I liken this to the role that the trays played in the Glad kitchen. The trays are used to serve people what they need, regardless of who picks them up. They still deliver what they're supposed to. Along the way, though, the trays can get pretty dirty. They have milk spilled on them, the food gets all mixed together, the empty sugar packages are strewn about over the tray. But once they've served their purpose, they're sent back to the dishwasher where they're sprayed off, cleaned, and sent back out to perform their duties again. I believe we're called by God as a body of Christ to simply love those we come in contact with. I say simply, but it's not always easy. Things can get messy, uneasy, and we can come out a mess. But I believe that God is always going to be there, with a dishcloth and hose, ready to take us back, spray us down, clean us up, and send us back out, well-equipped to love again. And I find immense comfort in that. Yes, I've lived a relatively short 18 years, and there are many things I have not witnessed or have had done to me, so I accept that there is room for skepticism. But maybe it was our task that week to remind those who have lost sight of his presence that he, in fact, is still there. I would like to thank all of you again for allowing us the opportunity to go to San Francisco. You each played a role in getting us there, and these are experiences that I will assuredly cherish for the rest of my life. Thank you.